Check your screen time report right now. Go ahead. The number will likely surprise you. 5 hours? 7? More? Now multiply that by 365 days. That's roughly 2,500 hours annually, or about 104 full days spent staring at a glowing rectangle. What if you spent that time learning languages, deepening friendships, or mastering a craft? This isn't a guilt trip. It's a wake-up call. We've handed over our most precious resource to algorithms designed by the brightest minds in Silicon Valley with one singular goal: keep you scrolling. Digital minimalism isn't about becoming a Luddite or retreating to a cabin in the woods. It's about something more radical: deciding for yourself how technology fits into your life rather than letting technology decide for you. Remember when phones were just phones? When Facebook was simply a way to see what college friends were up to? That innocence died quickly. Today's digital platforms are engineered with the precision of Vegas slot machines, exploiting the same psychological vulnerabilities that keep gamblers pulling levers. Former Google ethicist Tristan Harris wasn't exaggerating when he compared tech executives to tobacco farmers in t-shirts. Both industries profit from addiction just through different delivery mechanisms. The mechanism is devastatingly simple: intermittent variable rewards. Psychologist B.F. Skinner discovered that unpredictable rewards create the strongest behavioral conditioning. Pigeons in his experiments would peck buttons compulsively when rewards came randomly rather than consistently. Your thumb scrolling through Instagram follows the exact same pattern. You never know when that next dopamine hit of likes, comments, or compelling content will arrive, so you keep checking. Digital platforms exploit evolutionary wiring. Your ancestors survived by caring about tribal standing. Exclusion meant death. Social media hijacks this circuitry, making notifications feel like acceptance and their absence like exile. You're fighting billion-dollar companies with behavioral psychology PhDs using only willpower. Most advice, disable notifications, use grayscale, try detoxes, fails because it accepts technology's central role, then manages damage. Digital minimalism flips this. Start with what you deeply value, then ask which technologies genuinely support those values. Three principles underpin this philosophy. First, clutter is costly. Every app taxes attention, time, and mental energy, costs often exceeding benefits. As Thoreau noted, the cost of anything is the amount of life which is required to be exchanged for it. Second, optimization matters. Texting enables communication, but fragments attention and replaces richer connection. Third, intentionality brings satisfaction. The Amish exemplify this, radically selective with technology. They ask whether tools strengthen family and community values, installing community phones centrally rather than in every home to avoid family isolation. Incremental changes rarely work against engineered addiction. The digital declutter is a 30-day break from optional technologies, those used primarily for entertainment, information, or convenience rather than essential functions. Define clear rules. Identify truly optional technologies: social media, streaming services, problematic smartphone apps. Maintain necessary technology while eliminating habitual use. One participant kept email for work but deleted it from her phone, checking only on her computer during work hours. During these 30 days, actively explore meaningful alternatives. Simply white-knuckling through the month leads to immediate reverting. Rediscover neglected activities, reading physical books, taking long walks, calling friends for actual conversations, pursuing creative hobbies. Many describe this period as revelatory, suddenly noticing how much mental space they'd surrendered. The final step, reintroducing technology, is most critical. Start with a blank slate. For each technology, ask, does this directly support something I deeply value? Is it the best way to support this value? How will I use it to maximize benefits and minimize harms? This transforms technology from a default presence to a carefully selected tool. During the Civil War's darkest moments, Abraham Lincoln retreated to a cottage 3 miles from the White House. There, away from constant demands, he found mental space to draft the Emancipation Proclamation. Lincoln understood what we've forgotten. Solitude isn't loneliness. It's freedom from input from other minds, enabling deep reflection impossible amid constant stimulation. Modern life has engineered away solitude. Many now go entire days without moments free from others' influence, podcasts during commutes, Slack messages at work, social media during breaks, Netflix before bed. This solitude deprivation threatens well-being. Our minds require uninterrupted thought to function properly, much like our bodies require sleep. Reclaiming solitude doesn't require dramatic changes. Leave your phone at home for short trips, errands, walks, coffee runs. Nietzsche credited his philosophical insights to walking, noting, "All truly great thoughts are conceived while walking." The goal isn't rejecting connection, but balancing it with mental autonomy. Like Thoreau at Walden Pond, who regularly walked into town for conversation, move rhythmically between solitude and connection, allowing each to enhance the other. Our brains are sophisticated social machines with dedicated neural networks for interpreting facial expressions, voice tones, and body language. When not focused on tasks, our minds default to thinking about social relationships, what neuroscientists call the default network. Yet digital communication fails to engage these capacities. Text messages and social media lack the nonverbal cues our brains evolve to process, creating what sociologist Sherry Turkle calls communication that isn't conversation, exchanges that convey information but fail to satisfy deeper social needs. This produces the social media paradox. Platforms promise connection, yet increased use often correlates with increased loneliness. The solution is conversation-centric communication, prioritizing rich, real-time interactions while relegating text-based communication to a supporting role. Stop clicking like. These minimal effort interactions barely register as communication. Consolidate texting by checking and responding during specific windows, rather than allowing constant interruption. Hold conversation office hours, specific times when you're reliably available for calls or meetings. This transforms low-quality interactions into richer conversations while reducing scheduling friction, reclaiming digital communication's proper role as supplement to genuine conversation. Aristotle argued the happiest life is filled with activities valued for their own sake. High-quality leisure shares three characteristics: active participation, skill application, and structured social interaction. Consider scrolling Instagram versus learning guitar. Instagram requires minimal effort and leaves you depleted. Guitar demands concentration but yields deep satisfaction as you develop skill. Activities like woodworking, gardening, or cooking engage human capacities neglected by screens and provide tangible accomplishment. Structured social activities offer similar rewards. Board game cafes facilitate face-to-face engagement. CrossFit creates communities with shared experiences. Following Benjamin Franklin's example, he founded numerous clubs, seek structured activities around shared interests. Rebuilding leisure requires intentional practices. Fix or build something weekly to cultivate practical skills. Schedule low-quality leisure by confining digital entertainment to specific periods. Develop seasonal and weekly leisure plans with specific objectives, approaching free time with the same intentionality you bring to work. These practices transform leisure from passive default to active pursuit of meaningful engagement. The attention economy converts human attention into advertising revenue by maximizing engagement. Digital minimalism offers a philosophical framework for resistance, not rejecting technology, but shifting from passive consumer to active user who engages on personal terms. Effective resistance requires practical strategies. Delete social media from your phone, where companies capture attention most effectively. Removing apps while maintaining computer access dramatically reduces mindless usage. Use website blockers during focused periods. Approach social media with professional discipline. Schedule specific engagement times, focus on quality over quantity, maintain clear boundaries. Embrace slow media by focusing on high-quality sources and in-depth reporting over breaking news. Create specific rituals. Reading a physical newspaper over breakfast, or dedicating one evening weekly to long-form journalism. Some digital minimalists have traded smartphones for simpler devices, like the Lite phone. These strategies recognize we cannot revert to pre-digital existence. Digital tools offer genuine benefits when used intentionally. The goal isn't using less technology, but using it better, ensuring tools serve your deepest values. In a world where your phone buzzes with manufactured urgency and algorithms compete for every spare moment, digital minimalism offers something revolutionary: the freedom to choose. Your attention isn't just a resource, it's the substance of your life itself. Every moment spent scrolling is a moment not spent on something that truly matters. Reclaim it. Your life is waiting.